iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty and I'm joined today by Nitin Mehta, MBE. Now, Nitin Mehta was born in Kisumu in Kenya, as I was, and he has lived in the UK for many years. He is a dedicated professional with an excellent reputation in organising cultural events. He is passionate and a renowned speaker on India's spiritual heritage, as well as vegetarianism and veganism as well. He also is an active campaigner for animal rights, and he was instrumental in setting up the first vegetarian society in Kenya, in Mauritius, New Delhi, Paris, Lisbon, and the states of Punjab, and also Andhra Pradesh as well in India. Apart from English, he also speaks fluent Swahili, Hindi, Gujarati, and Punjabi. And Nitin holds a degree in sociology from Goldsmiths and is the owner of an auto parts business as well. Nitin Mehta, with such a fantastic and sterling background, we must welcome you right here on iGlobal Radio and say a great big hello to you and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tony, and I'm so pleased that I'm actually talking to one of my heroes.
I'm very humbled and flattered, but thank you so much. Let's talk about you and your lifestyle a bit. Apart from the bit that I've just already mentioned, you've got quite an interesting and, may I say, colourful background, and you've also been quite outspoken in various things as well, which we'll cover in our discussion today over the next 20 minutes or so. Tell us about yourself and a little bit about your history and background.
Yes, so as you mentioned, I came from Kenya at the age of about, I was 18, I think, 18 or 19. And the first job I got was in a factory, picking up parts for a company. That was a good experience. And then later on, I stayed. Oh, in those days, you couldn't go to university. You wouldn't get a grant if you had not been in this country for 3 years. So I worked around as, different jobs as a postman and delivery driver, whatever. And then I went on to university. And then we started the family business, auto parts business, which was our trade in Kenya also.
Okay.
It really took off. It didn't stand very well. But I had always a mindset which was always more interested, apart from just making money, into doing things, other things. And so my experience in a nutshell is, and I would say to everyone, that have two careers in your life. One is obviously the one that will, win you your bread and keep your family going, which is essential. You need money. But once you are doing that, have a parallel career to do something good. And it could be anything. Anything good, but hold on to it. Don't give it up. Through low points and through high points. And then when you are, in your 50s and 60s, when you look back, you will have that satisfaction of thinking, yes, I've done something on this planet which was positive, apart from just looking for my needs and my family's needs. So that's driven me. And I think if all young people do that, it will be so rewarding and will be good for mankind.
Very well said indeed. Nitin Mehta, as a person who's had such an interesting and fantastic background, you must have come across situations where you mentioned just now, let's do something good for the world, let's do something good for this earth that we live in, and for the people who live within it as well. One of the things that you were enterprising in doing, and that was tree planting throughout India. Tell us about that.
The idea was that I have I had a guru, a Jain guru, and he advocated that, to save India and also the planet, tree planting is absolutely essential. His name was Sushil Kumar Maharaj, very famous at the time in India. So that's what I took up. And we have planted trees in Hyde Park, and we put some mementos under the ground, which, you know, people will open up in 100 and 150 years to say, wow. Yes, wow. That there were people here who are promoting tree planting as well as environment and animals and all the, you know, all the varieties of life that we live with. Because we are interdependent, we need to be protecting these to be protecting ourselves. And Tony, the background that we come from, India, has talked about these things for thousands of years, literally, saying that, you know, we have to be planet friendly, we have to be compassionate. And these are the values that the world has now to adopt, either willingly or unwillingly.
Is it too little, too late? Because let's face it, saving the planet, making sure that we do the right things financially, environmentally, these are all beneficial to us and our future as well, and indeed to the world. But do you think we're doing too little too late now?
Well, obviously, we are at the last chance saloon, and all the predictions are that we are already in a state of emergency as far as the planet is concerned. You just got to look what's happening in America. Almost every week, there's a cyclone or a tornado or heavy rains. And one of the biggest causes of it is the amount of meat that mankind eat. You know, the population of the human race is about 8.5 billion. And we are producing 80 billion animals to feed this 8.5 billion population. This planet is just not big enough to sustain those numbers. And that is what is causing global warming, from the methane gas produced by animals, from the destruction of rainforests of South America, to the losing of all the wild habitats, green habitats. Our oceans are completely polluted with the amount of, I mean, just imagine the amount of waste 80 billion animals would be producing.
Indeed.
And amount of blood and all these, they have to go somewhere. They end up under our soil or under the rivers, and they create, you know, dead zones.
I was coming to that, if I may.
Log on to iglobalnews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iglobalnews.com. We are talking to Nitin Mehta, MBE, and we talk about making things right for the environment and also businesses and future as well. And as Nitin Mehta has written many articles, letters, taken part in many events and campaigns as well, Nitin, you talk about the slaughter of animals in the world and the substantial numbers that you shared with us a few moments ago. You are also somebody who has promoted vegetarianism and also saved the animal wealth of India from going to slaughterhouses. Could you elaborate on that and tell us about that?
Yeah, so in the when we arrived in the you know, late 70s in the UK, our children used to go to school. I mean, the younger generation was going to school while we were working. And at dinner time, they used to be served, you know, the standard.
Yeah, school meals, yes.
And some of us had come from a background for hundreds of thousands of years that we were vegetarian.
Correct.
So I thought that we should start an awareness group. So we formed the Vegetarian Society, the Indian Vegetarian Society, in 1980. But very soon we found that actually there was a vegetarian society in UK, which was also about 100 years old. And in which, you know, great people had participated, even people like Gandhiji, George Bernard Shaw, so many famous people, even those times were members of the Vegetarian Society. So we joined hands with them and we started campaigning throughout the country. And gradually the numbers of people who got aware of this thing increased. And one thing we also did was in 1990, we held a vegetarian rally at Hyde Park. It was one of the biggest rallies held in which Tony Benn, you know, the late Tony Benn came. He was a vegetarian.
Yes.
Not many people do know. And the Speaker of the Parliament also was a vegetarian. He came. So the other thing we did was I realized that in East Africa, there was a point where the Africans began to not like us, to put it mildly. And the feeling amongst the Africans was that we were not putting back to the country as much as we should while living in the country.
Really?
And I was afraid that this whole thing might be repeated here also, unless we build bridges with the people of the country that we are living with and contribute. So for the last 39 years, what we do in Croydon, where I live, is we organize a vegetarian, vegan meal only for our English friends. So it could be your work colleague, your friend, your doctor, your lawyer, people from the churches, nurses. So all of these people and the politicians, we give them a meal. And people, old age pensioners. And, you know, we sit and share food together. And, you know, so many doubts and so many fears just disappear when you do that. And those 120 people will never say negative things about you because they experienced you.
So, and what is the state of society where business is concerned? How are businesses taking to vegetarianism in this day and age that we're living in?
Well, at the moment, we are going through really exciting times because, as you know, veganism is now the fastest growing lifestyle in the UK. And there are big American companies as well as UK companies who are working on producing vegan products for the masses. So, you know, like vegan burgers, et cetera, et cetera. And they are proving so popular. So within the next 10, 15 years, I think a substantial number of people in the world, especially in the West, will become vegetarian. And it's going that way. So like the question you asked, is it too late? Well, if we change our diets from a heavy meat-based diet to a plant-based diet, we can still save the planet.
We are talking to Nitin Mehta, MBE, who's been present in the country for many years, but has used his expertise and background not only to help businesses, but also to enhance people's lifestyles through vegetarianism and basically looking after the planet and doing the right things and saving us and this planet from destruction.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iglobalnews.com.
Nitin Bhai, of the many achievements and public services and awards that you've had, you've also been the author of books as well, but you've also written many articles for which have been published in national newspapers. Would you like to talk to us about that?
Yes, apart from huge number of letters that are published promoting vegetarianism, animal rights, there are so many letters and articles that have been published defending India from unfair, biased criticism from the Western media, especially the British media. For some reason, seems to have quite an averse sort of attitude towards India. And here is a country which is the world's largest democracy. Mm. And with all its problems, you know, it's a functioning democracy. It started with nothing, and it's now one of the world's largest economies. Why is it that they are being picked on? It's an issue that always sort of, I was surprised about. So I challenged that. In the process, I also found that amongst our own Indian people of Indian background, there's a very unique group of people who are Indian academics. Mm. These Indian academics are brought up on you know, Marxist or liberal education system. And they are in Britain running, you know, they're professors or lecturers in universities in Britain. And they also never miss an opportunity to put the boot in for India, against India. There's a built-in sort of dislike. And I've never found any other national of any other country criticizing their own country,
yes. And why do you think that happens? Is it something they're embarrassed about or ashamed about? Because I find that quite horrific, actually. It's quite disgusting to do that.
Yeah, I think there are two things. They're sold by an ideology that they adhere to, which could be that anything that talks about the cultural values of the majority population or its heritage is for them some kind of extremism or a dislike. So from that base, they run this very critical covering of India.
Yeah.
And a lot of them very false too. So they need to be challenged. And I have challenged them lots of times.
Do they live under some sort of false pretense or an image and trying to show something that they are not? Because in society and in business, a lot of our people who originate from India have had to do that, not necessarily because they want to, because they just simply want to fit into society.
Yes, you'll be surprised. I won't name him, but this individual is one of the millionaires in UK.
Okay.
Very, very big. And he's written a book saying the colonial rule of India was a good thing. Mm-hmm. Here's an individual who's saying that, the 200 years of British rule was a good thing for India. So obviously my letter was published in the Times challenging that. And just by chance, I bumped into this individual.
All right.
One of the gatherings.
Yes.
And his jaws dropped when I said, I'm the individual who wrote about, challenging your views in the Times. And, he just was red-faced, couldn't say anything, because these people are not expecting any challenges, because there's also a feeling that Indians don't react. Mm. Indians will just take in anything.
It's in our nature. We turn the other cheek. It's in our nature. It's easier.
Yes.
It's easier to do that.
That's right. That's right. So, that makes it interesting. But, yeah. Tony, I mean, when we talk about animal rights, there's a whole world of animal abuse which, cannot make us live happily as human beings. Mm. People go hunting. People go to Africa to shoot these majestic animals, right, as a trophy, right? Millions of chickens are kept in small cages where they can not even spread their wings, The furs are taken off for making fur coats. The amount of abuse that goes on. We have the horse racing industry in this country. These amazing horses who win them millions of pounds, once they are retired, there's no one for them. Either they're shot or they're just starving. So while we all crave for happiness and peace and we think, what's going on the planet?
Mm.
We don't realize that we are closing our eyes to a whole set of living beings who share this planet with us.
Well, I've got something for you. I've got something for you. We pray, we meditate, we go to temples, we go to religious places, and we ask for what? We ask for fulfillment and peace and to try and bring about a better society. Yeah. But what we pray for and what our ideal is different to what we act and to what we do and what we say. You gave an example of that earlier on.
Yeah, yeah. But great thing is, within the British people, the English people, there are millions of people who are so, so compassionate. There are so many animal sanctuaries running in the UK. And by the way, we also run an organization called the Jane Animal Sanctuary. We help financially other animal sanctuaries. And over the last 30 years, we've given away about 150,000, 60,000 pounds to different animal sanctuaries. And we keep doing that. And one very great story is that a few months ago, a three-eyed calf was born in Wales to a farmer where they raise these animals which go for slaughter. So it was great news, and it came out everywhere that there's a three-eyed calf born. And somehow a friend of mine called Satish Parekh found out, and he said, "Look, we got to take this calf and save it."
Mm.
And after huge negotiations and lots of negotiations, we managed to buy the calf, and it is now in a sanctuary in Leicester.
Oh, fantastic. Really good news.
If you go there and see the calf, you'll be amazed. It's such a beautiful calf with unique three eyes.
Beautiful.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
Nitin Mehta, MBE, you are known to be argumentative, opinionated, and also an activist, but all for the right reasons, as we've discovered today in our program. So for the benefit of businesses and people who want to find out more about your cause, what you do, and with the organizations that you represent, what resources are available to people, and how can they get in touch with you in order to join an organization like yours, or organizations where they can actually be a part of a changing society to save the earth?
Yes, you just simply need to Google. I mean, there are so many organizations. There's one called Viva, based in Bristol. Amazing people, I mean, doing so much. They actually send people to slaughterhouses and they film what's going on in slaughterhouses and expose the stories. And now the government has made a rule that every slaughterhouse has to have a camera.
Mm.
So that the activities of the people are being monitored, because in there they suffer and no rules are followed. So that's that organization. There is Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. There are so many vegetarian and vegan societies. So there's so much going on that you can join in. But as I said, it has to be a long-time commitment.
And of course, if people want to find out more about what you do and all about you as a person, there's a website that they can go to.
www.nitinmehta.co.uk.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.